You would take your Bibles, Luke chapter 1 with us this morning. Luke chapter number 1. As you find your place, if you can, in honor of the reading of the Word of God, we'll stand together and read just a few verses this morning from the book of Luke, from Luke chapter number 1. We'll begin reading in verse number 26. And beginning together, verse 26 says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Look at verse 32 together. It says, "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the season that we celebrate. And the fact that Jesus was born in a manger is not just for a season, it's a reality all year long, every day of our lives, and we're thankful for that. And we pray that as we preach this morning, as your word goes forth, that you'd do work, and we'd be challenged and encouraged and convicted, and however your spirit sees fit this morning. Be with us today. Thank you for the account that we've just read. May we apply practical truths to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Often we hear this time of season, this time of the year is known as for peace on earth and goodwill towards men as a prominent statement that we hear. You would think that a season where that, the type of things that we celebrate, the type of Christmas cards that we see, and that it would be a peaceful and relaxing and joyful time of the year. However, we know that reality often reveals otherwise, and it's often a stress-filled holiday season. Christmas has become a time of stress and heightened emotion and irritability as people wrestle with overwhelming demands and schedules and that are often out of control and personal needs. And USA Today once noted that the sheer financial demands of Christmas can be overwhelming. In 2010, USA Today reported that money is one of the number one causes of stress for American adults. And most of us would agree as adults. But in that same year, it also estimated that consumers in 2010 would spend about $465 billion just during the Christmas season. Just during the Christmas season. And that was in 2010. In 2013, the National Retail Federation estimated that $602 billion was spent on Christmas. Can you imagine? And guess what? This year, that same foundation has estimated that in America, that in 2019, it's expected that $730 billion will be spent during the Christmas season. That's for decorations and all of that, the holiday season. That can often be, if we looked at numbers like that, that can cause some stress for folks. Along with that, there's pressure, there's hurry and anxiety. They tend to direct our focus more toward being irritable and stressed out than goodwill towards men. And as for peace on earth, the holiday season often accounts for one of the highest depression rates, and suicide rates are often the highest around this time of the year. What a sad thought. What a sad thought. We often find others and we decorate our houses with the lights and but inwardly, there are those around us, no doubt, that are experiencing great turmoil and loneliness and the results of failed expectations. Many fail to experience God's gift of peace at this time of the year. We usually think of peace that's as an emotion resulting from blessings or being in good times. And peace usually comes, we usually think of peace as being when Christmas shopping is all done and we still have money in the bank, right? When everyone in the family is happy with each other, right? Or maybe our lives only have enough tension to make them interesting. That's the what most would think is the formula for peace, right? Well, this morning we're going to look at, as we continue this series, The Greatest Gift. This morning we look at the gift of peace. And for those who experienced the peace of Christmas during that first Christmas, they might say otherwise, because they had just encountered one of the most shocking moments of their lives. And those that experienced that first Christmas night, they needed peace. Not just the overflowing of emotion or blessings, but they needed peace to give them, to merely allow them to remain stable through difficult times. And three different times during the Christmas story, an angel has told trembling, fearful humans to fear not. Fear not. Even as Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, entered the world, the natural response of those who heard of his arrival was fear. Was fear. We need to remember that God's gift of peace isn't just for the calm moments of our lives, the worry-free moments, or the tension-free moments. The peace of God is for times when negative circumstances seem to spiral out of control, when our emotions are churning with fear. It's for times when inner turmoil seems to suggest that peace is impossible to our everyday living. This is precisely when we need God's gift of peace. So how can we enjoy this peace? How can we find the peace of Christmas? Well, we see from our text that we find peace when we surrender to God's control. We find peace when we surrender. Like Mary, we find peace when we surrender to God's sovereignty. The first to receive the fear not message related to Jesus' birth was a young virgin, the Bible says, named Mary. And when Mary first saw the angel Gabriel, she was startled. She was afraid. I once read a story about a passenger who was riding in a taxi cab, and he leaned over to ask the driver a question. And so he gently tapped the driver on the shoulder to get the driver's attention. The driver then screamed and lost control of the cab. He nearly hit a bus. He drove up over the curb and stopped just inches from a plate glass window. For a few moments, everything was silent in the cab, and then the shaking driver said, "Are you okay?" "I'm sorry," he said, "but you scared the daylights out of me." The badly shaken passenger apologized to the driver and said, "I didn't realize that a mere tap on the shoulder would startle someone so badly." The driver replied, "No, no, no, I'm the one who is sorry. It's entirely my fault. You see, today is my first day driving a cab, and I've been driving a hearse for nearly 25 years. That was a startling experience. He'd been driving a hearse for 25 years, and then to have someone tap him on the shoulder. He was shaken, startled. The Bible says in our text, if you look in verse number 29, the Bible puts it a little bit more softly, but it says Mary cast in her mind what manner of salutation this must be. Don't you love the wording of God's word? Don't you love that God has preserved his word exactly for us today, for the English-speaking people? Don't you just love that? And so the reason God put it in there, and he says he cast in her mind, because you know what? It doesn't just say she reasoned, because if it meant that, it would have just said she thought about it. But this word cast encapsulates not only the fact that she thought about it, but it also encapsulates or it encompasses also that trembling and the fear that she felt in that moment when it says she cast in her mind. And so Has anyone ever, can you remember a time, and probably you can if it's happened, can you remember a time when you were so afraid, maybe you were frozen with fear? Anyone remember? Can remember, have ever been scared like that? My wife has scared me very greatly at times in my life where we'll just not talk about it. But in that time, in those moments when you're greatly afraid, you begin weighing options, right? Right? You begin weighing your options. Do I start swinging at whatever it is that scared me? Do I run? Do I stay? Do I wait to see what is, right? You begin weighing the options of what it is that has caused this great imbalance, change. How many, do you like to be scared like that? How many would raise your hand and say, no, I've been greatly scared and I do not like it. So you would also, with your hand up raised, say, I would never want to live in that state, right? And so when we think of this idea of how greatly shocked Mary was, when we remember those times when we were greatly afraid, we can remember great emotional times, great times of fear, great times of sadness, right? Because we don't, because those things causes a change in us, right? From the normal, from what we consider normal. Many might not consider me normal, but what's normal for me, I guess. And to be afraid takes us out of that, right? And so that's where Mary was, and the Bible says she cast in her mind what this was. There was so much for Mary to absorb. She was seeing, for one, she's seeing an angel. She is one of few people in Scripture that ever saw an angel. Two, the message that he's about to give her is going to change her life. And so she has a lot to kind of absorb in this moment. And so what she's doing is she's literally, what the phrase means is she disputed with herself. And it means she weighed the cost. And so that makes me think, she had the option of running, right? Right? Let's be honest. If we saw an angel, I don't think it would be, look, it's not something that we would have been expecting, right? If an angel walked into the room right now, we'd be, oh yeah, where have you been? We've been expecting you. We thought we would see an angel today. This was something Mary had never seen before. And it caused all these reactions within her. And the Bible says to encapsulate them into one phrase, the Bible says she cast in her mind. And when it says that, there was so much going on. She disputed with herself. She weighed the cost. She considered what was happening. And this message would literally shake Mary to her core on several levels. She had no idea how it would be possible for a virgin to conceive a child. She said, seeing I know not a man. But there were greater implications. And we often have the ability to look back through Scripture in hindsight and think of the great privilege of this interaction with Mary. But if we read Scripture, we have to understand how much this would have affected this young woman. And we primarily look back at Mary and think of the privilege she had to be the mother of the Christ. However, she would have had many reasons to be afraid, to fear. For one thing, after receiving a message like this, there would be great misunderstanding on the part of her family and her friends, to put it mildly. After all, she wasn't yet married. And very soon, she would have to announce that she was with child, or else people would start figuring it out. Most wouldn't believe the account of the angel's visit and her claim to still be morally pure. No wonder Mary cast in her mind. This was a lot to process. And as Mary pondered her situation, the angel spoke two words of assurance. He spoke, fear not. Fear not. Gabriel had a heavenly perspective, and because of that, he could remind Mary that with God, nothing shall be impossible, in verse 37. And with that reminder, Mary was able to say words that we often say, but sometimes find difficult to live out. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." You see, Mary experienced the peace of God by surrendering to God's sovereignty. It was more than just mentally agreeing to a theological truth of God's sovereignty, because I believe most of us here today would agree that God is sovereign. The Bible says it, and we believe it. But the peace that Mary enjoyed was a byproduct of her making a personal choice to trust God's sovereignty, meaning that would affect the way she lived her life, her everyday life. Not just it would affect the way she lived her life on the days she chose for it to. When we truly trust God's sovereignty and we truly enjoy that peace, it affects our life for the remainder of our life. Every day. Not just those easy days, not just the good days, not just the days when it's not, when life isn't stressing us out. It means when we trust God's sovereignty, it means we trust His sovereignty for the rest of our days. Not just the good days, not just the storm-free days. But Mary Newton was able to experience peace. Of course, we have an advantage that Mary didn't. We have the complete Word of God filled with the promises of God. And when I choose to trust these promises, regardless of my feelings, they can bring peace and they can bring hope and they can bring comfort. I'm thankful for the peace of God. If you've got a pen and paper, you might want to write some of these promises down. Isaiah 41, verse 10, the Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Isaiah 41:10. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Jeremiah 29:11. Romans 8, verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Romans 8, 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." That's only four passages of Scripture. We could go on and on through Scripture. There's hundreds of promises that remind you and I today that we can be settled, that we can know peace by trusting in a sovereign God. They help refocus our circumstances. They help refocus our fear. They help refocus our stresses and allow us to have an eternal perspective, a heavenly perspective. Mary didn't even have that. She didn't even have the complete Bible to hold in her hands as we do today. But Mary got something else from the Lord. In verse number 37, the angel said, can you imagine hearing this from an angel? Who would know better when the angel said, "But with God, what shall be impossible?" What's that word? Nothing. Let's do a little bit of vocabulary class today. What do you suppose nothing means? Hey, gold star. Nothing. With God, the angel told Mary, nothing shall be impossible. I can't imagine the encouragement that would have been after getting this message of peace from an angel, from a messenger from the Lord, and to hear that same angel, the messenger, the angel of the Lord standing before her. And this is Gabriel, to hear him say, don't worry, with God nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. In that moment, Mary had to resist the natural instinct to rely on her feelings and choose to believe that promise and choose to submit to God's sovereignty. And it was in that choice that Mary found peace. Through Mary, we learn that God is honored when we simply trust Him. even with the humanly unexplainable. And when we make the choice to trust God's sovereignty, we find what Philippians calls the peace of God, which passeth all understandings. Turn, if you would, quickly to Matthew chapter number 1, if you would, please. Matthew chapter number 1. If we want to experience true peace, we must surrender to God's care, His control, and His sovereignty. Mary found that out. We also find that obeying God's commands can bring true peace. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18, we find that if Mary had questions about the virgin birth, Joseph had even more. We don't often think about Joseph a whole lot, but he's included in Christmas plays, but he doesn't really do anything but stand there. Everything we know about Joseph is drawn from Bible accounts of his actions. It's interesting how prominent Joseph is throughout Scripture, but not a single word of his is recorded in Scripture. Did you know that? He knew he was not the father of the baby, but undoubtedly some people would assume that he was. Real peace for Joseph came when he obeyed Christ's commands. The Bible says the birth of Jesus Christ in verse 18 was on this wise: when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. What a startling time this must have been. Christmas for this young man Joseph was very real, and it brought a momentous, terrifying decision. She was espoused. That simply means it was similar to our engagement, but it was much stronger, the espousal or the betrothal period. By the standards of betrothal, Mary and Joseph were legally married, but it would be a year before they would come together and live as husband and wife. This meant that nothing but unfaithfulness could end the relationship. And ending it was actually considered divorce. Mary's announcement that she was with child put Joseph in a huge dilemma. He knew he wasn't the father, but there was no precedent for a virgin birth. It had never happened before, so there was no precedent to make Mary's explanation seem plausible. The only reasonable conclusion was that Mary had been unfaithful. And unless he was to risk his marriage and what appeared by natural explanations to be the sins of a spouse, he had only two options, and neither was pleasant. He could have Mary put to death by stoning, or he could divorce her. It's interesting to know that, as in Luke chapter 1, when the Bible highlights Mary's purity and emphasizes Mary's purity, it also specifically in Matthew chapter 1 points out Joseph's character. Matthew 1:19 says, Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Joseph loved Mary. Joseph didn't want Mary to suffer. And considering his limited options, he was minded, the Bible said in verse 19, to put her away privately. What a heartbreaking and fearful decision he faced. I can imagine the restless night that Joseph endured after Mary told him the news. No doubt it was a night of little sleep and tossing and turning and weighing his decisions from every angle, but no matter how he looked at it, there were no good answers. And it was at this moment of crisis, it was at this crisis moment that an angel of the Lord was once again sent. Look in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 20. It gives us the setting while he thought on these things. While Joseph is trying to reason through this situation through human wisdom, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not only did the angel give credit or announce or vouch for Mary's purity, but he explained to Joseph that the baby was the promised Messiah. And he gave Joseph a simple command, was to take Mary thy wife. For Joseph, the test of faith would come as he obeyed this simple, significant command to obey. To obey would require great courage, because believing Mary and becoming her husband would make Joseph one with Mary in her public scorn. Being ostracized from friends and family, Joseph would join with Mary in that. However, Joseph chose God's gift of peace by trusting and obeying his command. Today we understand that God's word isn't delivered by angels. God's word isn't delivered by angels, but it's found in the complete, preserved, pure word of God. When we face a confusing and unsettling decision, much like Mary and Joseph did, we must seek God's will through his word. Through his word. Sometimes we find ourselves, much like Joseph, confused simply because we haven't allowed God's word to weigh in on our decisions. Do you know God never goes contrary to his word? He never goes contrary to his word. Like Joseph, often we exert great mental energy into sorting out our options, but we do so with limited wisdom. When we have the opportunity, we have God's word, we can seek God who alone knows all the intricacies of the problem that we're facing. Proverbs 3 tells us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. As we choose to obey God, I'm thankful that God is faithful. I'm thankful that God is powerful. I'm thankful that God is present in our lives. You know what? The promise that we get in Scripture is that as we trust God in our difficult, unsettling times, as we truly trust Him, leaning all of our weight, mentally, emotionally, financially, in our family, in our leaning it on a sovereign God, you know what happens when we truly trust Him to be God? When we truly seek Him in His Word, we can truly trust Him for the results. Oh man, a couple people believe that. Do you know when you really lean on God and trust in God with all that you are and all that you have, you can trust Him for the results too. You can trust Him for the results as well. After all, when we trust God as a heavenly Father, He assumes full responsibility for us for the outcome. I'm so thankful for this verse we found and we've looked at throughout the year. In Psalms 119, verse 165, the first two words are great peace. You want great peace? Psalms 119, 165 tells us, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In obedience to the word of God, there is great peace. Mary experienced God's peace by submitting to His care, to His control, to His sovereignty. Joseph experienced God's peace by obeying His word. But there's another way. Turn in your Bibles back to the book of Luke. Excuse me, Luke chapter number 2. To know God, to know peace, we must seek God personally. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, what are those two words? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. The night of the first Christmas once again saw angels sent to declare God's message of peace. In one survey at Christmas time, nearly 30% of those that were surveyed said that all of the people that were mentioned in the Christmas story, they identified most with the shepherds, because the response was, the shepherds are like us, average, ordinary working people. You see, the shepherds' lives would have been filled with routines, and they had no reason to suspect that they would be singled out by a heavenly invitation to the birthplace of the Son of God, but their routine, mundane lives were completely transformed one night on a quiet hillside. Like Mary and Joseph, the shepherd's response to the angelic announcement was one of fear. It's kind of interesting if we were to picture it, these rugged, hardworking, dirty men. They'd been working, they'd been out in the weather, they'd been working with farm animals. This night they were stricken with fear. Just a moment ago, they'd been enjoying the evening together, and then they were shaken from their nightly routine. It's interesting when we think about the lives of a shepherd. Growing up, this group of shepherds would have regularly faced circumstances that would cause most of us to fear. It was their job, after all, to defend the sheep, not just care for the sheep. And this rugged group of men must have faced hundreds of predators over the course of their lives in order to protect the sheep. And as they'd grown up in this profession, fighting off those things that would steal and kill and rob from the flock was simply all in a day's work. But on that Christmas night, this group experiences an event that no one could have prepared them for. No one could have prepared them for. Like the shepherds, we often ask, how can there be peace when you enter the unexpected like the shepherds did? Well, the angels gave the shepherds the answer to this question, and they said, fear not, fear not. It reminds us that we can face the unexpected with this gift of peace. The Bible tells us that Jesus himself is the giver of peace, and when we know him as Savior, we know the peace of forgiveness of sins. We know how that we can have our sins forgiven. We know the peace of having a home in heaven. We know the peace of reconciliation with a loving Heavenly Father who gave and who loved us so much that he moved on our behalf. When we know him as Lord, we know the peace of his authority in our lives. We come to know him as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords, and as the Prince of Peace himself. I love the response of the shepherds. The Bible says they came with haste to the manger. And when they got there, they found themselves in the presence of God himself. Many around this time of the year, around the Christmas season, will try to manufacture peace. We often try to surround ourselves with a bubble of security. We put our confidence in whether it's families or jobs or friends or finances or whatever it may be, any number of things. But in our most vulnerable moments, all of those things can disappear. And when the unexpected comes and our bubble, so to speak, is popped, what happens then? Where is our confidence? Our ultimate confidence must be in the Lord. But we can only experience the security and the confidence of his presence if, like the shepherds, we make a conscious, consistent effort to seek him. More promises from the Word of God. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Through Christmas, Christ gave the greatest gift, the gift of his presence. We looked at last week that he was Emmanuel, God with us, but we only find peace in his presence as we choose to seek him. We choose to seek him. We can seek him today through his word, through the promises of God's word. He comforts us. Through the promises of his word, he gives us confidence. Through the promises of his commands, he guides us. And it's through his words in those dark and stormy times, through the promises of his word, he lovingly whispers to us, the same as he did to these three examples this morning, "Fear not, I'm with you." It's tragic that the very season that we celebrate Christ's birth is so busy. Often so busy, we hardly have time to really seek God, to really shut out the world, and to really seek his face through the pages of Scripture. The shepherds recognized the incredible privilege of being in Christ's presence, of being invited to the manger. When they realized that, they forgot their livelihood. They forgot about the sheep, and they rushed to the tiny babe in the manger. We ought to demonstrate a similar desire to be near our Savior. But it won't happen unless we constantly, consistently, consciously make it a priority. And what a change the presence of God can make in a life. When we first met the shepherds in Luke chapter number 2, they were on a lonely hillside, pondering what just happened, thinking about reacting to the visit from this heavenly host. But the last we hear of the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 17, after they'd seen the baby, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They joyfully shared the news of Christmas, of the birth of the Messiah, with all who would listen. What made the difference? What made all the difference was that in their moment of fear, they heard God's message of peace, and they obeyed. They entered into His presence. They sought out His presence. I'm thankful that the Scripture allows us to look into the lives of these individuals, and we get to see the uncertainty of Joseph, and we get to see the questioning and struggle that Joseph went through, and we get to see the fear in Mary and the shepherds. And I'm thankful that we can see that, and that Scripture is fairly clear about that, because often we keep most of these things to ourselves. But God allows us a glimpse into the trembling moments, the terrified souls, the vulnerable moments, and He gives us an example of how that we can enjoy this gift of peace that He's provided for us. As we face an overwhelming situation, what are we supposed to do when we face overwhelming odds, overwhelming situations in our lives? Well, these examples teach us that we're to acknowledge our fear to God and then submit to His sovereignty, claim His promises, trust His purposes for our life. What are we supposed to do when we're in the midst of a confusing, overwhelming decision? What are we to do when human reasoning just isn't enough? Well, we're reminded this morning to listen to God's counsel, to obey His command, to go to the Word of God like the shepherds did, to make haste and find God in His Word and go to His Word. Or what happens when we're reeling from an unexpected shock, unexpected change? Well, we need to seek His presence. We need to seek His presence. When fear reaches in to grip our hearts, to shake our very souls, God has a message, and it's a message of peace. It's the message He gave to Mary and to Joseph and the shepherds, and it's to fear not. Fear not. He promises His presence with us. Fear not. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. This gift of peace is truly the greatest gift. The greatest gift. So are you facing an overwhelming situation this morning? A situation where you've just come to the end of yourself? God offers peace. God offers peace. Acknowledge your fear to God. Submit to His control, His care, His concern. Claim His promises. Trust His plan for your life. Are you in the middle of a confusing decision? Seek God's counsel. Make haste. Go to the Word of God. Seek His presence. Father, we thank You for the time together this morning. Thank You for the peace that You bring. And often there are those in life that are struggling. And I pray if there's one here today that's struggling with the unexpected, struggling with unforeseen difficulties, that they would turn and they would run to You today. May they seek You today. If there's one here today that doesn't know You as Savior, may today be the day where they find the greatest gift of peace through a relationship and salvation, coming to know You as personal Lord and Savior. Thank You for the peace that You give. Thank You for the promise of Your presence and Your provision in our lives. In Jesus' name.